Day 132-145, GC Standard 306. The Job. I hate this game, Sissek said, frowning over the checkered pixel board. Ashby took a bite of spice bread. You're the one who wanted to play. Yeah, well, I'm gonna win one of these days, and then I can be done with it forever. She rested her chin on her fists, sighed, and gestured toward her bishop. The game piece moved itself forward, leaving a faint trail of pixels in its wake. The fact that you people have been playing this for centuries says a lot about your species. Oh, what's it say? That humans make everything needlessly difficult. Ashby laughed. I could just let you win. Sissek's eyes narrowed. Don't you dare. She glanced out the fishbowl's bubbled window, watching the joints of the new containment cage fasten themselves together. A few more hours, and they could be out of here. Not that they had another job lined up yet, but there wasn't any reason to linger. They were due for a market stop, and Sissek was looking forward to having her feet on the ground for a while. You know, Aya laughed at me for still playing pixel games. She said they're not cool. Sissek blinked. Tell me she doesn't have a brain, Jack. Oh, no, no, no. She just uses slappers. Okay, then. Phew. Slap patches weren't anything to worry about. They had a box of them in the rec room, little sticky sheets applied below the brainstem, a necessary accessory if you wanted to create a neural link between yourself and a sim, a vid, or the linkings. Slappers had come round after Sissek had reached adulthood, so while she used them on occasion, she still preferred the more tangible comforts of a pixel board and a scrib. Brainjacks, on the other hand, made her skin crawl. She couldn't imagine loving any hobby so much that it warranted putting a tech port in her head. Ashby gestured at a pawn. Besides, I can't believe there's a doctor out there who'd put a jack in an 8-year-old, not to mention a parent who'd let it happen. Have you met any of Kizzy and Jenks' friends? Fair point. Sissek took a sip of mech. She didn't usually start her mornings with the sleepy brew, but she had nothing to do until the cage was finished. She could justify being lazy. She tugged at the heat blanket wrapped around her shoulders, trying to coax away the lingering torpidity. Little brains have enough going on without getting all wired up. So do big brains, for that matter. That's what I told Aya. And what'd she say? She called me old. She rubbed his stubbled chin as he studied the board. I am officially the old, boring uncle. Sissek laughed. I highly doubt that. You let her fly our shuttle last time we visited the fleet. Ashby chuckled. I thought my sister was going to kill me. Exactly. And that makes you cool. Your move, by the way. Dr. Sheff lumbered down into the garden, walking on 2 hand feet, carrying gardening supplies in the other 4. How's the spice bread? He asked Ashby. The crust's a little crispier than last time, Ashby said. I like it. Glad to hear it. I thought you could all do with some complex carbohydrates after last night. Ashby smirked. Hey, I left the carrier bar at a reasonable time, with my reputation intact. I am the very picture of restraint. Ha, Sissek said. A guilty grin spread across Ashby's face. Okay, maybe I got a little happy. A chorus of laughter erupted from Dr. Sheff's throat. At least you were quiet about it. Unlike a particular trio of inebriated humans, I found raiding the med bay at 6th hour. Oh, no, said Sissek with a smile. What did they do? Nothing scandalous. Kizzy and Jenks were in search of some sober-ups, and Rosemary had fallen over onto one of the examination tables, dead asleep. I think she actually tried to match drinks with those two. Sissek laughed. Oh, I bet she did. And I'm sure they talked her into it. By the time I left, they were 6 rounds of kick deep and had just ordered sugar snaps. Poor thing. She'll be miserable today. Did you get her to her room? Kizzy did. I think she put her in the freight elevator. Her feet and her brain were operating on completely different frequencies. Ashby shook his head with amusement as he moved his rook. Well, hopefully she understands that the text just wanted to give her a welcome, and that she never has to go through it again. He leaned back in his chair. Also, checkmate. What? Sissix cried, leaning forward. No, that's... Wait. Shit! Her shoulders sagged. But I had a strategy and everything. Sorry to mess it up. She studied the board, trying to figure out where she'd gone wrong. Nearby, Dr. Chef was tending to one of his planters, breathing out a low, droning whisper, as always. His version of silence. Sissix watched his pudgy fingers weave bracing knots of twine round the wandering shoots. Sissix never failed to be surprised by how agile Dr. Chef's movements were. The man looked like a pudding with legs, yet his hand-feet let him move as nimbly as a dancer. "How's your ginger?" Sissix said. "Fat and happy," he said, tying back the tall stalk. Dr. Chef puffed his cheeks with pride. The ginger had been Jenk's idea, and few things made Dr. Chef happier than meeting the crew's culinary requests. Although I have to admit, I like eating the flowers much more than the root. Far too potent for my taste. Nice and crunchy, though. Ashby turned his head. You know ginger's an accent, right? Like a spice. What? No, really? Did you try to eat it whole? Oh, dear, yes. Dr. Chef rumbled a laugh. I thought it was some sort of spicy potato. I have never understood potatoes, Sissix said. The whole point of a potato is to cover it with salt, so you don't notice how bland it is. Why not just get a salt lick and skip the potato? Don't ask me, Ashby said, standing up. Potatoes are a grounder thing. You done playing? Asked Sissix. Yeah, it's a little after 10th hour. The news feeds will be updated. His tone was easy, but there was a serious look in his eye as he said it. Okay, she said. She knew what feeds he'd be checking, and it made her want to hug him. Not a quick, stiff human hug. A long hug. The kind you give to friends when you know something's bothering them. But she'd learned long ago that those kind of embraces just didn't happen platonically among humans. It was one of the many social instincts she'd learned to temper. Dr. Chef tied one more knot, grumbled with satisfaction, and took Ashby's empty seat. In his top handfeet, he held a mug printed with an Ensk expression. Kiss the cook. A past birthday gift from Kizzy, who always ignored the fact that none of the non-human crew members traditionally celebrated birthdays. Sissix lifted the pitcher of mech sitting beside the pixel board. More. Dr. Chef considered. Just half a cup, he said, extending the mug. I suppose we're all entitled to a lazy day once in a while. That we are. Sissix filled Dr. Chef's mug halfway, then filled her own to the brim. She could feel the muscles in her cheeks and throat relax as the warm, bittersweet brew washed over them. The feeling bloomed throughout her shoulders, her neck, her arms, washing away all the remaining scraps of tension that the previous cup had softened. Stars, she loved mech. Dr. Chef cradled his mug in his hand feet. He nodded towards the pixel board. A very typical human game. How so? All human games are based around conquest. Not true, she said. They've got lots of cooperative games. What about battle wizards? Scarcely a 10-day went by in which Kizzy and Jenks didn't plug into that game with slappers, even those two weren't dumb enough to jack, exploring magical worlds and sharing merry adventures inside their heads. Dr. Chef waved a free handfoot dismissively. I don't mean brain games. I mean stuff like this, he said, gesturing to the pixel board. The classics. Things humans have been playing since before they even knew there were other planets out there. All conquests, all competition. Come to think of it, even Battle Wizards is like that. The players work together, but they're still working to defeat a common enemy, the game itself. Sissix mulled this over. The idea of humans as conquerors had always been a laughable one. Not just because they had meager resources, or because the diaspora could never get anything done, but because the humans she knew personally were so unassuming. Ashby was one of the kindest individuals she'd ever met, of any species. Jenks didn't have any ambitions beyond living comfortably alongside people he liked. Kizzy had managed to drop a sandwich into an air duct last 10 day, so they hardly needed to worry about her launching a coup. Corbin was a hateful pain in the ass, but harmless, and a coward, too. And yet human history, pre-Exodus at least, was rife with cruelty and endless war. Sissix had never been able to make sense of that. Dr. Sheff pushed the chess pieces around the board. Grum games are rather similar, thematically. I think our species are rather alike in some ways. Humans would have died out, too, if the Aeluans hadn't chanced upon the fleet. Luck's what saved them. Luck and discovering humility. That's really all that makes humans different from Grum. Well, aside from the obvious, he chuckled, gesturing to his body. Sissix laid her hand across Dr. Sheff's closest foreleg. There would be no more Grum in a century or so, and there was nothing to be done about it. She knew that Dr. Sheff had long ago made peace with his species' impending extinction. Even as he referred to it now, there was no sadness in his voice, no bitterness. But that didn't mean that she couldn't feel it on his behalf. Dr. Sheff patted her hand, more for her sake than his. He glanced over his shoulder toward Ashby, who was leaning against the kitchen counter, reading feeds on his scrib. Dr. Sheff spoke in a low whisper, quieting all the voices that came from his mouth. Am I wrong? Or has Ashby been checking the news a lot these days? Sissix nodded, knowing what he was asking. The Rosk have been hitting the colonies at Kalo hard. And that's where she was headed last. Yeah, not that the feeds give many details. Understanding passed between them. They both knew that Ashby wasn't worried about a war that would never come to his doorstep. His concern revolved around one of the Aeluans stuck on the fringes of that war. Her name was Pei, and she and Ashby had been coupling as often as they could for years now. She was a civilian cargo runner, hired to haul medical supplies, ammo, tech, food, whatever the Aeluan forces needed. Given the nature of her work, she couldn't always send text or jump on the Ansible when she was heading into contested territory, for fear of giving away troop locations or becoming an easy target. Ashby often went 10 days without hearing from her, and during such times, it was not unusual to find him checking news feeds. When he did hear from her and had a rough idea of her location, the checking became all the more targeted. It didn't help Ashby's well-being at all. Not that Sissix could see, but humans always got a little dumb when sexual partners were involved. Close as Sissix was to Ashby, she'd never met Pei, or even seen her. The woman was an enigma, but Ashby's lack of forthcoming had nothing to do with Sissix, and everything to do with Aeluan prudishness. An Aeluan, especially one working alongside respectable soldiers, could get in a hell of a lot of trouble for pairing up with someone from another species. Everybody aboard the Wayfarer knew about Pei, of course, but they understood why Ashby needed to keep it quiet. Everyone had stopped asking questions about her, at least while Ashby was in the room, and even Kizzy was smart enough to keep her mouth shut about it when they were around other people. It's not good for him to check the news all the time, Dr. Sheff said. It's not as if they'd print her name if anything happened.
You tell him that, Sissix said.
I can't, Dr. Sheff sighed.
I did the same thing when my daughters were off at war. That's why I don't like that he's doing it. I know how all that wondering can eat away at a person. He shook out his cheeks, as if brushing himself off. This conversation has become entirely too heavy. Would you like to play a game with me, or have you had enough for one morning?
I'm down for another.
You want to play chess? Stars, no! Let's play something, Andrisk. One of your lovely let's-team-up-and-solve-a-puzzle games.
Ticket.
Oh, I like Ticket. I haven't played it in years, though, not since I lived in Port Coryell.
Well, I'm not very good at it, so we'll be a balanced team.
She voiced the change in game to the board. The pixels reassembled themselves accordingly.
So, what about Andrisk games?
Hmm?
What do Andrisk games tell you about us?
That you're clever, fond of sharing, and just as dysfunctional as everybody else.
Sissix laughed. I can't argue that.
They began the game, and the conversation segued into ticket strategy. Sissix was just starting to think that they might actually win when Ashby broke his silence.
Whoa, he said to himself.
Then again, more publicly, as he hurried back towards them,
whoa!
Everything okay? Sissix said. All spacers knew that a lot of bad things could happen to a ship in a short amount of time, especially when sitting in the mouth of a brand new tunnel. Seeing a crewmate in a hurry always made her adrenaline kick.
We're fine, he said.
He laid his scrib down beside the pixel board and gestured over the screen. The vid feed playing on the screen leapt into the air and hovered above the scrib. It was a human news program, fleet-based, from the sound of the reporter's accent. Sissix and Dr. Sheff leaned forward to listen.
Yet to confirm how long membership talks have been in place, but sources indicate that a small team of GC ambassadors have been secretly in communication with the Taremi Ka for at least 2 standard years.
The Taremi?
Dr. Sheff said, his whiskers rustling in surprise. Sissix could not mimic his physical response, but she shared the feeling. The Taremi were not a species that was mentioned often in the news. They were not a species that was mentioned often at all. Sissix knew little of them, other than that they controlled a tight ring of territory surrounding the galactic core, and that they had been industrially killing each other for decades. Ashby shook his head, a gesture of both confirmation and disbelief. One of their clans has just been granted GC membership.
Sissix set down her mug.
What?
Her brain reeled.
Wait, what?
If that was true, the Commons Parliament had gone insane. The Taremi clans, from what few accounts of them there were, came across as both vicious and incomprehensible. Never a good mix. The clans had been discovered by the Hermagians nearly 500 standards prior, when a probe found Taremi ships skip-diving, which was dangerous as hell, round and round the galactic core, like fish following a current. No one knew why, and the Taremi themselves showed no interest in talking to their galactic neighbors. They kept up their nomadic loop until about 40 standards back, when they stopped in their tracks and started slaughtering each other over claims to stationary territories. And again, no one knew why. No one could get close enough to ask. The Taremi blocked all access to the core. Ships that got close were pushed back. Ships that slipped through came back in pieces, or not at all. But aside from butchering trespassers, the Taremi had kept to themselves, of no concern to anyone except the scientists and entrepreneurs frustrated by a walled-off core. Ashby put his finger to his lips and pointed to the scrib.
Official statement from the GC Ambassadorial Committee explains that the Taremi Ka are the only Taremi clan currently taking part in this membership agreement. The reporter explained. Other clans have remained neutral in this agreement and reportedly have displayed no hostility toward the GC. The GC has vouched for the Taremi Ka, stating, quote, "We stand by the good intentions of our new allies who are committed to enjoying the benefits of a more unified galaxy." As part of the new membership agreement, the GC will not aid the Taremi Ka in offensive attacks against other Taremi clans. However, use of military force will be authorized to defend territories shared by the Taremi Ka and the GC. Dr. Chef scoffed. In other words, the Taremi Ka get big GC battleships sitting on their borders, and the GC gets easy access to all the Ambi sitting on the other side. He shook his head. No good can come from a species at war with itself. Never has, never will. His eyes grew small, and he hummed deeply. Sissix knew his thoughts had gone to his own people, his own war. She reached out and squeezed his topmost shoulder. His eyes grew large again, focusing on her. He came back. He puffed his cheeks and laid one of his hand feet atop her claws. Wait, Ashby said. Huh? What? Sissix said. He blinked. This is what Yoshi was talking about. He looked at Sissix. She understood. We could do this, she said, and nodded. Yeah, we could handle this. Handle what? Dr. Chef said. If they're going to be mining and pulling Ambi, they need a way to get their hauls back home. And they're going to need single-ship hops in place before they can start thinking about convoy tunnels, Ashby said. He straightened up, deep in thought. This is exactly the kind of work that could get us ahead. A job like this, they're not going to pay small. Work, repeated Dr. Chef. You want to work out there? With those people? Every tunneler's going to jump on this once they hear the news, Sissix said. Then we better beat them to it, said Ashby. Let's go draft a letter of intent. We need to call Yoshi, too. You think he's big enough to lead a project like that? No chance. But he'll know who to contact. I'll have Lovey send him a SIB invite. I have no idea what time it is there, and you'll need to help me figure out roughly how long it would take to get us to central space from our current location. I'm assuming that's where they'll want us to punch from. Is Rosemary up yet? Sissix remembered the last time she'd seen Rosemary the night before, head propped against her palm, smiling from ear to ear, words slurring thickly. I'm going to guess she's still asleep. Ashby rolled his eyes. Get her some sober-ups. This is exactly the sort of thing I hired a clerk for. I'll fix her a plate of breakfast, Dr. Chef said. He wagged a finger at Sissix. You tell the techs they picked a terrible night to break her in. To be fair, Sissix said, getting to her feet, I don't think they were planning on the GC losing its mind. Received message. Encryption 1. From Vlay Mok Hansib Inn, path 4589-55617, to Ashby Santoso, path 7182-312-95, subject Tokath Hedra Ka Project. Kind greetings, Captain Santoso. My name is Vlay Mok Hansib Inn, and I'm writing to you on behalf of the GC Transportation Board. We have received your letter of intent regarding tunnel construction into Taremi Ka space. Connecting our allies to existing GC territories is a high priority for the Commons Parliament, and we have great need for skilled contractors such as yourself to help us enter into this new chapter of interspecies cooperation. After reviewing your work record and assessing our needs, we agree that the Wayfarer would be an excellent choice to assist in our endeavors with the Taremi Ka. This assessment is reflective not only of your professional experience, but also of your recent decision to employ a certified clerk. We see the latter as a sign of your dedication to upholding the standards of the GC Transportation Board. We are pleased to offer you the following project. The GC is in need of a new single-ship tunnel connecting Central Space, Tokath Gateway, to Hedra Ka, the capital planet in Taremi Ka territory. This would eliminate our current reliance on pinhole tugs in that sector, and would be our first step towards establishing cargo convoy tunnels. Before you accept, we ask you to carefully consider the conditions of this project. Normally, A blind punch would be the most expedient means of connecting to an unanchored territory. However, Hedra Ka is located in a soft zone. As I am sure you are aware, the environmental risk factors in such an area make a blind punch from Tokath nearly impossible. In the interest of protecting both spatial stability and sapient life, this project would require an anchored punch between Hedra Ka and the Tokath Gateway. As there are currently no tunnels that connect GC and Taremi space, this poses a challenge. We propose that the Wayfarer travels to the Del Elek lookout station at the GC border. This is the closest anchored point between GC space and Hedra Ka. A pinhole tug would rendezvous with you there in order to bring your ship through to Hedra Ka. Given your current position, we estimate that a journey to Del Lek would take between 0.8 and 0.9 standards, depending on your choice of route. The pinhole jump would take an additional 4 days. To help cut down your travel time, the GC would hire another contractor to place the exit cage at Tokath in advance. We understand that this is an unusual proposal, but given the circumstances, we do not have, nor require, a more expedient plan for completing this project. We also understand that the required travel time represents a significant commitment from yourself and your crew. The GC is willing to cover your basic living and operational expenses for the duration of your travels, in addition to your payment for the project. We also understand that space travel can impose unexpected delays, and that the mental health of your crew will require occasional rest stops along the way. In light of these needs, we do not demand a specific arrival date, but instead require that you arrive at any time before 165-307. You will also have the freedom to chart your own flight path and make stops as you see fit, though an efficient route is obviously a priority. If you are not confident that your crew or your ship can withstand this journey, it is best that you do not accept this project. The offered payment for the Hedra Ka project is 36 M credits. Expenses not included, non-negotiable. We will expect a reply from you by 155-306. This project will not be offered to any other contractors during that time, so please do not make a hasty decision. If you have any questions regarding this project, feel free to contact my office. If I am not available, my AI, Tugu, will be able to assist you. With gracious regards, Vlay Mok Hansib In. Ashby, 0010. Sizzix, are you there? 0011. Pick up your scrib. 0014. Hello? Sizzix. 0015. Text. 0015. Really? 0016. How fucking quaint. Ashby. 0016. Did I wake you up? Sizzix. 0017. Yes. 0017. I'm going to complain my boss about this in the morning. Ashby. 0017. Sorry. It's important. 0017. I just forwarded you a letter. Sizzix. 0018. Why can't you come to my room? I hate typing. Ashby. 0018. Because I don't want anyone to hear what we're saying. Sizzix. 0018. Ship okay? Ashby. 0018. Yes. Just read the damn letter. Sizzix. 0019. Give me a minute. 0019. Need to heat bed. I can barely move. Ashby. 0019. Get a heat blanket and let's go. Sizzix. 0024. Okay, better. 0024. Can actually use my hands now. Hooray. Ashby. 0024. Read it. Sizzix. 0024. Okay. Okay. 0027. Holy shit. Ashby. 0027. Shh.
I can hear you yell through the wall.
Sissix, 0027. Ashby, 0027. This, 0028. Holy shit. 0028. We just won the jackpot.
Ashby, 0028. Sis, if you don't stop making noise in there, I'm gonna space you.
Sissix, 0028. How are you not making noise?
0028. Are you seeing how much money this is?
0029. Plus expenses.
0029. Ashby, this is more than we brought in all of last standard.
0029. And this would be just profit.
0030. Pure profit. No expenses.
Ashby, 0030.
I know.
0030. I still can't wrap my head around it.
Sissix, 0030. We could get a new bore for this. Easy.
0031. And all sorts of new tech.
0031. Just like we talked about.
0031.
Stars, Ashby.
0032. And not to be pushy, but your crew could get a bonus.
0032. For example.
Ashby, 0032.
Yes.
0033.
It's incredible. I know.
0033. But we need to be smart about this.
0033. This is one hell of a haul.
Sissix, 0034.
We're used to long hauls between jobs.
0034. We'll be okay.
Ashby, 0034.
This is the better part of a standard we're talking about.
0035.
That means no vacations, no visiting family unless they're in our flight path, and a lot of Stacy food.
Sissix, 0035. It's not like we won't dock when we can. I can plot us a nice, smart course that gives us plenty of market stops and places to put our feet on the ground.
Ashby, 0036.
I know.
Sissix, 0036.
But.
Ashby, 0036.
It's Taremi space.
0036.
Those people have been at war forever.
0037.
And I don't know anything about them.
Sissix, 0037.
Ashby, the GC wouldn't send us in if it wasn't safe.
0038.
We're an unarmed tunneling ship. No one will be concerned with us.
0038.
If anything, that long haul gives them plenty of time to get their diplomatic shit sorted out before we arrive.
0039.
And I'm sure that place will be swarming with bureaucrats and GC troops.
0039.
All we have to do is get there, punch a hole, and jump back home.
Ashby, 0040.
So long as they don't start murdering each other again once we're there.
0040.
I don't even know what language they speak.
0041.
Oh.
0041.
Wait.
Sissix. 0041.
What?
Ashby. 0042.
Rosemary.
0042.
I hadn't even thought of her.
0043.
Do you think she's up for this?
Sissix.
0043.
In terms of job or psyche?
Ashby.
0043.
Both.
0044.
A standard's a lot to ask, even for spacers like us.
0044.
This is all new to her.
Sissix.
0045. Well, as far as the job goes, she's got plenty of time to get her claws sharp.
0045, so to speak.
0046.
As for her personal life, she's dodged every question I've asked about family, and she's single, too. 0046. I don't get the impression that she's in any rush to visit home. 0047. Besides, you read the letter? 0047. Hiring her essentially got you this job. 0047. So even if she's useless the rest of the way, at least she did that much. Ashby, 0048. Ouch. Sissix, 0048. I'm kidding. 0048. Kind of. Ashby, 0049. It's so much money. 0049. We could do so much with this. 0050. And what a project. Sissix, 0050. Like I said. 0050. Jackpot. 0051. You've earned this. 0051. I've known you a long time, Ashby. 0051. Trust me. 0051. You've earned this. Ashby, 0052. Thank you, sis. 0052. Sorry for waking you. I just needed to pick your brain. 0052. I'll need to discuss it with the crew before I decide anything. Sissix, 0053. So let's discuss it with them. Ashby, 0053. No, sis, wait. Throughout the ship, the voxes snapped to life. Everybody, wake up. Big news. Crew meeting. Rec room in 5. Ashby, 0054. I'm gonna space you, Sissix. Sissix, 0055. You love me. Feed source. Galactic Commons reference files. Public. Clip. Item name. Astronomy. Home galaxy. Regions. Galactic center. Core. Natural resources. Encryption. 0. Translation path. 0. Transcription. 0. Node identifier. 9874-457-28. Rosemary Harper. The Galactic Center, colloquially called the Core, is home to several unusual astronomical phenomena, including a supermassive black hole and a high concentration of stellar clusters. These unique conditions indicate that the Galactic Center is the home galaxy's largest source of raw fuel materials, such as ambi, as well as metals and minerals used in spacecraft construction and terraforming. Estimates of the available resource yields are speculative at best, but the scientific community widely accepts that the amount of harvestable ambi sources in the Galactic Center contain a supply more than 4 times the amount present in all combined GC territories. Though the presence of such materials has been confirmed by Hermagian long-range survey probes, the Galactic Center remains largely unexplored by GC member species, due to Teremi territorial claims. Related topics: black holes, accretion disks, stellar clusters, ambient energy theory, commercial fuel sources, ambi harvesting, Teremi, interstellar exploration, Harmagian, spacecraft construction, terraforming, galactic regions and territories, home galaxy. Traditional names for the home galaxy by species.